In the Weeds had a 19 second long intro video on here.
I don't know.
It's In the Weeds. Do they? I never know what goes on in that show. Every time I tune in, it's like wackadoodle time.
Listen, I'm always here for wackadoodle time. We're live.
Yeah, right.
Hey!
Hi, guys. Welcome to Wrestling Made Me Cry. Sorry for our little intro question mark. We didn't have a show last week because I woke up Sunday and everything in my house was falling apart. So we had a plumber and an electrician.
A plumber and an electrician walk into an apartment.
They walk into an apartment and they cut a hole in my wall.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's been drywalled over. Everything's fine.
Oh, it's good? No more water?
No more water.
No Titanic 2?
No Titanic 2. But speaking of Titanic, I had the craziest dream.
Okay.
Me and two of my coworkers were like a little trio.
Mm-hmm.
We, for some reason, decided we didn't want to fly to Kazakhstan because we have plans in the future to go for research to go to Kazakhstan.
Okay.
We didn't want to fly because we didn't trust like the American airplanes.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, we'll take a boat. We get on this boat and we're just like happy go lucky getting on the boat. It's the Titanic. That's like the grand staircase from the movie, you know, like the big grand staircase. And we're the only people on the boat. And then I woke up.
Do you know my obsession with the Titanic?
You have the movie or the real Titanic?
So to preface, I was homeschooled until fourth grade. So the movie came out when I was in fourth grade. And I was in this pretentious era of, I don't want to watch a historical fiction. I'm going to learn about the real thing. So like any other neurospicy person, I deep dived into the historical event that was the Titanic. 1912 was an interesting time historically, politically, mm-hmm. economically. And I wanted to learn all the people, everything, why, I wanted to go down to like the science of the meals of each
passenger.
And then as a kid there, my mom took me to an exhibit. Oh, geez. This exhibit, by the way, it was like you get a printed ticket that it has like a passenger that was on it, and you go through the entire exhibit and then you learn if they lived or died.
You want to know something crazy?
What?
They have that same thing at the U.S. Holocaust Museum in D.C.
Oh.
Yeah, a big group of like 40 of us went one of the summers I was there, and they... You each floor, you like flip a page and you learn more about their story.
Yeah, that's kind of how it was. They must be the same company.
Because
I got like a little girl and I was like, this is so exciting, blah, blah, blah. Like the likelihood of like first class passengers surviving was high, right? Mm-hmm. Second class, not so much. Third class was drastically different, right?
Yeah, you're cooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of them were immigrants. And that, I mean, looking at the names of the people in third class compared to the people in first class, obvious racism, you know? So I had this little girl, but she died. She died.
Mm-hmm. No.
Of hypothermia.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Because they didn't know that, like, if you get wet at all, even if you're in a lifeboat,
that's so tragic.
It is. It was really traumatizing for me as like a fourth grader. But I had like a blanket that was Titanic. I got like a bunch of like memorabilia that was Titanic. I own multiple copies of the VHS movie of Titanic.
A super fan.
Really? And do I own a VHS player? No.
They're collectibles, though.
It is true.
Yeah.
They just had a Titanic exhibit here in Seattle, and I took my friends on my birthday this year.
I want to go to a Titanic exhibit.
Well, it's open until the end of March, so get your little hiney over here to Seattle. Well,
our little Titanic segue.
I know.
Our little detour.
My heart will always go on, but my heart is also belonging to wrestling because so much happened in wrestling. Well, I mean, in the last 2 weeks, and we have Revolution next Sunday.
I know. I thought it was a lot further out than it is. I'm gonna be real. I was like finding pictures for the thumbnail and like prepping for the show this morning. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's in like a few days.
Yeah. 7 to be exact. Oh, do you see he just popped in the chat?
It's Miss Maggie.
Hello.
I love
Maggie. How are you feeling?
Oh, yeah. How are you feeling? Are you feeling better or worse? Hopefully better.
You can be either. The choice is yours.
Just choose to be better.
Yeah. And if you don't.
Speaking of, I have to tell you, I've discovered my secret skill.
Oh?
So I have Xbox Game Pass, which you pay like a monthly thing and you get access to a bunch of games. There's like new games for the month. So I go on to see like what the new games are. And there's like a World War One, like super realistic military buff, like, you know, weird game.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, it's only 13 gigabytes. I'll download it. Let's play it. I'm a prodigy, I think. I'm winning like every game I play, I win like most accurate or most kills in your squad. Like, I think I was built to be in World War One.
Kylie!
Like, maybe I'm, like, reincarnated. Your thing is Titanic and mine is World War One.
You know what? I think for the longest time I couldn't tell you, like, the difference between World War One and World War Two. Because it does involve the similar kinds of people, right? The similar...
But all the alliances are shaked up.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like you put them, you go, okay, you guys all played in the last play. I'll put your name in a hat and then I'm just going to put you on different sides now. But I do know that World War One started with the assassination of Francis Ferdinand.
Yeah, Archduke Franz Ferdinand. Yep. Yeah. Maggie said, I had the strangest fever dream. Cena turned heel on Cody.
Okay.
Bomb, bomb, bomb.
We said this before we went live. There was an F-bomb on a WWE PLE. How do you feel about that?
Me? I dig it.
I mean...
I personally am of the camp where I think that swear words should not be censored. I think that they don't matter that much.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think ultimately it's like, because the excuse is always like, well, we don't want kids to hear, you know, those kind of words. They hear worse at school, I can assure you.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it. I think it adds a little bit of drama, a little bit of spice.
I mean, I still think Christian and Adam Copeland had the better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the better segment.
I have so many thoughts about Cope and Christian, and we'll probably talk about them today when we talk about Revolution.
Yeah.
But I have thoughts. My thoughts. Oh, but first, I didn't text you to ask you because I wanted to ask you here. What one on Dynamite, there was like a little vignette hyping up Mercedes New Japan Strong title, her start, mm-hmm. Her progression into Mercedes three belts.
I mean, technically four, but the Rev Pro one is unified.
Yeah. And there was a glimpse, a teeny tiny second of Athena on AWTV. She was there for a second in that little video package. And then Mercedes is confronted by Billy Starks. I needed your thoughts on this. And I wanted to save it for here.
Okay, so Billy is the gateway drug to Athena, correct? Yes. So where there's a Billy, there's going to be an Athena.
Yes.
It's just kind of how it works. We have all in. We have all in just a couple months. So you're telling me only or possibly get, I don't know, Kenny Omega versus
Okada.
But we're going to get Athena versus Mercedes at Y'all In?
It's Dream Match City is what it is.
They're
going to stack this pay-per-view top to bottom with weird, seemingly random, but like chaos dream matches. And I'm going to...
That's how excited. I feel anytime I enter the state of Texas, though, is chaos dream.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
And we're not just talking about your hats. They're y'all.
I want a giant, like, 10-gallon hat. I should get one for y'all. Yeah.
That would be incredible. Are you going to buy it in Texas? Or are you going to take it through airport security?
Oh, that's a good question.
And let's hope that TSA shapens up their... Not TSA. Whoever the flight administrator... I never claimed FAA? To be a smart person. Yeah, FAA. Thank you. Yeah. There's acronyms. They exist. Somehow I don't know any of them. I just hope that the... I want the flight to be safe because I don't want any of my friends to.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear you. Uh-huh. Yeah. But TSA doesn't like me anyway.
Tell me your story.
Well, I have so much every time, not every time, I would say 80% of the time.
I get
flagged and they make me get pat down and they, you know, swipe my hands and like, do I scream like red flag?
Yes.
Oh.
So I'm going to tell you something. Hands to God, every time I go through, they say, what's up with that? And I don't know what it is. I don't know if they can smell fear. But every time I go through, I have to go through the additional like screener. And they have to pat me down. And obviously they concentrate here. And it's always a little bit too invasive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually sometimes because I forget that I have like a bobby pin. Like in my pocket.
Yeah. One time I had my shoes had like metal like ends on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the end of my shoelace. And that got flagged. And like they went through the little x-ray thing and they were like,
yeah.
What? I was like, I bought the shoes at like Famous Footwear or something. Like, I don't know. Ask the manufacturer.
Here, why don't you get them on the phone? Call them right now. Let's go.
Call TSA. Out.
Yeah, let's go.
You would get shoveled through like 50 people before you got to talk to anybody. There's nothing worse than like a mean TSA person, but I have respect for TSA.
I know. I have a respect for them as well because they are putting themselves at the front lines, right? The people that come through, right?
Yeah.
They're the first bit of, you know, whatever. I get it. And I get that they're tired because when I'm in an area full of people for 10 minutes, I'm instantly drained. However, stop feeling around my back. Next, I'm just going to put a dildo on top so I can throw them off my scent or something. I don't know.
There was one time we brought a stuffed animal through TSA and it had to go through the x-ray machine, obviously. And it got like somehow messed up in there and it ended up in this other guy's bin. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. Just let me grab that stuffed rabbit. And I grab it. And in the bin is a collection of the most expensive watches I have ever seen and jewelry. And I was like, oh, I'm not stealing from you. I'm just grabbing my rabbit. I promise. I'm not stealing. It had to have been like $60,000 worth of just like jewelry. And like his wallet and his phone. And I was like, I look at him and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm not stealing. I promise. It was not a toy.
That makes me hyperventilate. But also, here's the thing. Airplane attire. Do you go dressed up, dressed down, comfortable, elevated? Like, how do you dress when you go to the airport?
Well, every time I go to the airport, I wear this jacket because it's my lucky airport jacket. I have to wear it or I get like major airplane anxiety. And then I'll wear sometimes, depends on what time of day I fly. Sometimes if I fly in the morning or at night, I'll wear like sweatpants because I get cold on the plane. Sometimes I'll wear jeans. It just depends on when I'm flying. The important thing for me is the shoes, though. Like, I have to wear shoes that I can easily take off because I try to make TSA as anxiety free as I can. And if I'm struggling to get my shoes off, I get really freaked out. Like, I'm holding up the line, I'm taking too long, that kind of thing. So I need some that just like slip off and I put them in the bin and then we're good.
I like to teeter between like elevated athleisure, right? I want to be as comfortable as possible. I'm going to be bending and going and doing all the things, but this is going to sound like I'm a germaphobe, but I'm not, but I try to have the least amount of exposed skin as possible. Mm-hmm. So it's like compression leggings, compression top, like flannel or something like tied around my waist. Like, I am not here to play because I'm sitting on things. I'm sitting on seats. I'm going in like spaces where there's hundreds of germs. I don't want your kid with their sloppy nose dripping to touch me on my skin. No thanks.
I think that's fair.
Get your body away from me. Period. But like, there are some people who go and they're like in shorts and like tank tops. And like, I get that you want to be like as comfortable, like breathable as possible. I could not imagine my bare legs touching anything that's in an airport or anything that's on a plane.
I agree.
No, thanks.
I couldn't do it.
Can't do it. But, you know, if you're a wrestler, though, I feel like maybe, well, because if we tie it back to wrestling, wrestlers in wrestling rings sweat all over each other. But that's like a familiarity, right? Like, if I'm in AEW, I know Ricochet. I know where his sweat and bodily functions are going. You know, like, I know who he is. I don't know some random person in 2B, you know?
I love that you're like, huh, I'm in AEW. Who am I wrestling? I'm wrestling Ricochet. Is there something about Ricochet where you're like, that's my first opponent for sure?
Listen, I wanted to talk about Ricochet today because I have never given two hoots about Ricochet.
Yeah.
Right. My first exposure to Ricochet, really for me, because I didn't really watch Lucha Underground or anything, was NXT, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought that his feud with Redacted was really great. Especially when he did that little flippy thing off the stage and, you know, oh, you're better than me. Oh, you know, can you do this? Can you, like, I just love that. But him on the main roster did nothing for me. Absolutely nothing for me. So when he got signed to AEW, I'm like, okay, let's see how your creativity without limitations is going to work here. And him doing the Andrew Tate like stuff a couple weeks ago, I was like, oh, dude, what is happening here? However, all good heels make me hate your absolute freaking guts. And that's what makes me love you. Because some people do it and it's like, go away heat, like Chris Jericho. Like, get out, leave. I need you to stay in a home and never come out.
You know? A home.
any home. Yeah. Like a retirement home.
Yeah.
He could play the bingo halls, you know, with his band, the Fozzy, right?
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. It made me think of all good heels make me hate them so much.
Yeah.
That I want to keep seeing them. Similar to like Dolph Ziggler, right? When Dolphy was doing his thing, being an asshole all the time, interrupting people, taking things that wasn't his. You're like, I hate you so much, but please more. Please more. Ricochet has absolutely been elevated since being in AEW, and I actually am looking forward to what comes at Revolution.
Me too. Like 100% agree about Ricochet being elevated. I also think that Ricochet in general is just a better heel than a babyface. Because when he was a babyface, he was so bland. And in AEW, you can't really do that. Because if Ricochet was a babyface right now, like a high-flying, you know, electric babyface, he's up against Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
He's up against Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega.
Like he just doesn't have like the spice to carry him in that environment. But as a heel, especially this kind of heel where he's like annoying and like a little fly that you just want to swat away. He's not trying to be tough and hardcore or anything like that. He's just annoying. I think it really, really works for him. And it's a nice contrast to Swerve, especially with the Nana stuff this week of him being like, Ricochet stole my prized possession. And I've done all of this work for you. And what are you doing for me? Like the tension between them. So excited about that. I'm still thinking about when Hangman was looking for Swerve. I think it's going to come to a head at some point. I don't know where we're going. But I know we're going to get there. And I think that's really, really exciting. And so Ricochet Swerve, like it's going to be a good match, obviously, because hello, it's Ricochet and Swerve. But I seeing both of them doing something a little bit different, that and this is what I've always missed about AEW in our little downturn, our little valley, if you will, is like this excitement of anybody can change at the drop of a dime, or every story feels a little bit different, and they're not all just in like some kind of stasis where, you know, you're Swerve, so you only are going to do stories like this, you're only going to act like this, and that's that. I think we're getting back to the AEW where everything is so dynamic but still interconnected in like the most fun ways. I'm so stoked. And just like the Revolution card in general, so you know what's been announced so far, I'm so stoked. And I was talking to Kate and I was like, are we so back? Like, is AEW so back?
Yeah.
Because this last dive, with the exception of the Death Riders,
Tell me.
And it's...
Go on.
Okay. I talked a lot the last couple months about how the Death Riders are missing the mark. And I still think they are missing the mark.
Yeah.
So sometimes it feels a little bit clunky. Like, Cope has Marina and Claudio ready for the concerto.
Yeah.
And he's going to hit Marina. And Moxley's doing nothing to help. He's just, like, panicking in the crowd. And instead of just hitting Marina, he just stands and waits and waits and waits. And then Willow comes out and does it. And I was like, just hit her.
I know.
Like, she's nobody, like, she's a heel. It's not going to be that big of a deal. I am annoyed at the way the story beats are playing out, especially with Jay White just being there,
existing
there.
His music hits and suddenly we're supposed to.
Yeah. And there's like no clear, they haven't teased or anything what the payoff for Jay White is going to be. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be the first shot at Cope or Cage? If Cage cashes in, Is it going to be a feud with Moxley for some reason instead of the title feud? I don't know. But, like, I think that... And I talked about this a little bit on Blue Sky, but I think that they have, if they're going to close the show with Copeland winning or Moxley winning, regardless, there has to be some kind of twist. There has to be something. Because if Moxley beats Cope, you can't close the show with a Death Rider standing tall. There's got to be something. Whether it's Jay White or... Or Darby, who has not climbed the mountain yet, I don't think. Mount Everest, I mean. Or Beth Phoenix debuting. Oh,
that would be really cool.
So I need a little oomph. If it's because like the rest of this card is like 10 out of 10. Fans love to see it. And this, fans are like a little bit afraid to see it. So they're a little bit afraid. Yeah. So Cope is like putting his whole heart and soul into this thing.
Yeah.
He is doing everything to make it work. But it's Moxley where it's not working.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't think I'm the correct person to critically analyze this because of how much I love Adam Copeland. He cannot do anything wrong at all. At all. And I think that he's not the problem. With the Death Riders. I just think that the Death Riders, had they not put the title belt in the freaking briefcase.
Oh, the briefcase.
I think that that's something that's missing is we're not actually seeing the championship. Yeah. We're just seeing the briefcase. The briefcase is the black void.
Yeah.
So like we're chasing a briefcase. I don't know. You can buy one at Office Depot.
Yeah,
Office Max.
And, you know, people try to, like, explain to me, well, Moxley's supposed to be a little bit cowardly. That's the point. But Moxley has never been cowardly.
Right.
Like, he's been the opposite. And they've told me nothing about why all of a sudden he's cowardly.
Do we forget that his entire feud with CM Punk, where he was literally telling CM Punk that he's a coward?
And the whole... Death Rider story started with I'm Moxley, I'm the veteran, and I'm tired of carrying all of you, step up. Mm-hmm. And now it's Moxley's a coward who has all these people to defend him, and Copeland has to fight off all these people to get to the king. That's like, then they did nothing to tell me why the story changed. It just did.
Yeah.
So Copeland is doing great work. Great promo work, too, especially. Mox, though, Copeland is going to hit Marina Shafir in the head with a concerto, and he's just standing in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get it. But this is a good question. What do you prefer, Cope or Cage as champ?
I love Azadi. I love Azadi as the AEW champion, right? Make me lust after you. Make me like want to see you wrestle. Who do I want to see wrestle more? Is this Adam Copeland's last chance saloon at a main AEW championship?
Probably.
However, Christian Cage is lurking in the background. Being the zaddy to us all. And he has that stupid contract. If we don't pay it off now, when?
Yeah. And that's... The contract is kind of like the burden of it all.
The burden?
You have to cash in. So it's like, does he cash in and win?
Yeah.
Do you really put the belt on Christian Cage before your like historic summer run of pay-per-views? Do you put it on Copeland or do you keep it on Mox and continue waiting for Darby like you said you were waiting for Darby? It's like a weird situation. I personally still think the goal is FTR versus Cope and Cage. I still think that like we're on the road. We're like, because they have to, FTR has like now they're in trios with Daniel Garcia. Which Daniel Garcia is another one that I'm confused on.
He has his own title belt. Why is no one wanting the TNT championship?
He's wrestling Adam Cole now. Adam Cole challenging for the TNT title.
Okay. He's been looking very zaddy lately. Zaddy is my new word. I don't know why. I need it to stop. Adam Cole is looking good.
Yes.
He's looking good. This man goes, you know what? You guys made fun of me too long.
Yeah. And he just needed some time to like recoup from the injuries, you know? But they've really been positioning Adam Cole and the Undisputed Kingdom well. Like they're very much building them for something. I don't know what that something is. Is it Adam Cole as TNT champion? I wouldn't be mad at it. I'd be a little disappointed for Daniel Garcia, but I think a heel Adam Cole versus a babyface Daniel Garcia would be better than what we have, which is nostalgia run Undisputed Era Adam Cole.
I've been saying it. I need nostalgia pop Adam Cole. I mean, Kyle O'Reilly left the conglomerate. It was an unnecessary tag team. Mm-hmm. Although Ishii being in anything pops me every time. However, we have Kyle O'Reilly together. We have Roderick Strong together, and we have Adam Cole. Baby. What more could you want?
Yeah. And I love Adam Cole. I've always loved Adam Cole. And I will never, ever, ever buy into the Adam Cole hate. I love him. He's such a good human being. And so I don't really know why Daniel Garcia and FTR were in this trios match together. And they didn't really sell me on that.
Yeah.
But if Adam Cole beats Daniel Garcia, I'll be a little disappointed for Danny Boy. But, you know, maybe he chases. Maybe he chases. I don't know. But I do still think FTR as heels versus a reunited Cope and Cage in their last, you know, career run as a tag team would be great fun.
Absolutely.
I don't know, like, how we get Cage there, though, with the briefcase. The briefcase ruins everything because it would be so easy to have Copeland lose to Mox and get attacked by FTR and saved by Christian Cage. But we can't do it because of the briefcase. Because then it's like, why... If Adam Copeland loses and gets attacked by FTR, then why wouldn't Christian Cage, you know, the patriarch, just cash in on Moxley?
Why not?
Yeah, because if he saves Copeland instead of cashing in, then he's reunited with Copeland and he still has the briefcase. You have to get rid of the briefcase.
Oh my God. Oh.
Is he going to be in a tag team with Copeland with the briefcase? No, he can't be. So you have to get rid of it.
This is worse than trying to dump an old mattress. Exactly. Let's be real. You see those mattresses at the end of like dead end roads because they are impossible to A, donate, and B, trash. Mm-hmm. That's why they just end up at the end of dead end roads. Yeah. That's how I feel this storyline is coming, is to a freaking dead end, and we need to segue into
it's a dead end, but it's only a dead end because the giant briefcase is blocking the rest of the road.
It's like a Snorlax.
There's two briefcases in the story.
Oh my God.
We have Marina's briefcase and we have Christian Cage's contract. I don't get it. There's so many like unnecessary storytelling like trinkets. Too many trinkets in the story.
Okay, but what if they open the briefcase and it's just pickles or like bugs or
what if they open the briefcase and Darby Allin is in there? He like master contortion.
Is he alive? Is he? I mean, I think that his skeleton could still wrestle. Let's be real.
I think so. I think Darby Allin would. He would survive the briefcase, I think. I don't know. But, and I think...
Luchasaurus is never coming back to wrestling.
Luchasaurus needs to come back and steal the briefcase. I do think that they had that story in mind and that Luchasaurus got sick. And so,
and I don't think that he's coming back to wrestling.
I don't know. But I think, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's just my speculation. I don't know T about that, but
I don't know. But I do think that was probably the story they had in mind. And now it's like, what do we do now? They have nothing planned. They should have just given that spot to Nick Wayne and then put a rocket on his back and pushed him to the moon, but they didn't. So I don't know, genuinely. And that's why the world title picture is so bizarro. But my idea was...
Bizarro.
And I said this on Blue Sky, was like, on the pre-show of the pay-per-view, you have the Death Riders take out Copeland. He goes to the hospital.
Yeah.
And then you have someone, probably Tony Schiavone, say, Tony Khan is going to come up. He's going to find a new challenger. The title match will go on. Moxley can't escape it anymore. Blah, blah, blah. And then just give him Jay White. And then give Jay White the title. And we wash our hands of it. And we reboot. Or you could put anyone in that spot and we'd be fine. You could put Jay White. You could put Daddy Magic, for all I care.
Not Daddy Magic!
World champion Daddy Magic? You could put anybody in that spot, and I'd be like, thank God it's over. Legitimately. And then you can fix it. I don't know how you fix it. You take Moxley off TV for a long time, probably, is how you fix it. And then you can have Cage cash in and lose.
Oh.
And then we reevaluate ourselves and we figure out where we go from there. But when I think about watching the Death Riders through to whenever Darby Allin decides he's done climbing a mountain.
Yeah.
I get a little nauseous because I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I'm like really enjoying AEW.
You're real for that, by the way. You're real for that.
Well, I'm like really enjoying AEW top to bottom and every division, everything going on. And I think like, sorry, I thought I heard a ghost. I think
if you do hear snoring, it's my dog. She's got her blankies over there. You can see.
Oh, cutie. All her blankets. Maybe that's what I heard.
She's honk-shooing away.
Honk-shooing. I don't know where I was going. AEW, like top to bottom.
Yeah.
But when I think about the Death Riders, like continuing for the next few months.
Yeah.
I feel a certain type of way.
That's fair. It's fair.
Boris says, I wish they'd put Ospreay in the title chase.
I don't think it's time for him yet.
No, because the Omega stuff. I'm enjoying Omega Takeshita and Ospreay being like
the
little young boy in love with Kenny Omega, standing behind him, smiling all the time. But I don't think it's Ospreay's time.
I think that we need to get through whatever is going on with Kenny Omega. I mean, we know what's going on with Kenny Omega.
But... Which I think he's going to beat Takeshita here at Revolution.
You think he's going to beat Takeshita?
Yeah.
The man who beat Kenny Omega twice in 1 week?
Yeah. I think he's going to beat Takeshita. I think Don Callis is going to turn on Takeshita. We'll probably like do something with that. But I think Kenny Omega as international champion... into like Double or Nothing, which is in Phoenix, Glendale, Phoenix, but Phoenix. Yeah. And Yal Lin, I think like it needs to be. He needs to be a champion.
Shocked. I am shocked.
You don't think he's beating Takeshita? How do you see it playing out then?
This is the thing that could go either way. However, I think it's going to end in a no contest.
Okay.
Because Kenny Omega can't lose his like first big pay-per-view back, right? But Takeshita is the international champion who is about to go to, isn't he about to go to do stuff in Japan, or did he already do that?
I don't know.
So why would they send him over there if he's not a champion?
I don't know. But I think he might go into New Japan and like just have a solid run there with no AEW commitments.
Okay, but that's nice. I like that. This heel Takeshita, like completely annihilating everyone in, okay, I like that. Okay, I like that. Okay, I'm flipped. I'm flipped. No, I was just thinking that more shenanigans is going to happen, that the House of Don Callis is going to reign supreme. And it's going to piss me off.
I wouldn't be mad if it went either way, right? Because I think that, like, I love Takeshita, and I think Takeshita has, you know, one of the brightest futures in all of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Kenny Omega doesn't need a title to be Kenny Omega. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, to be at that top level. But I do think that there would be a good way to put a belt on Kenny Omega and like give that belt some love. And then I think, I don't know if Takeshita is going to Japan actually, but if he does, he could come back and you could put him in like the world title picture and it'd be a good time.
Okay. I'm into it. I'm just into making Takeshita a star.
Me too. I think he's already a star, but I think he could be an even bigger star.
Mm-hmm.
I dig it. And then I don't know what you do with Ospreay after this Fletcher match. I guess it depends on how it ends. If like you continue Ospreay Fletcher, or if it's like you,
Kyle Fletcher's winning.
Yes, you think?
Oh hell yeah, Kyle Fletcher. Do you see him? He's back wearing crop tops. He's got his superpowers back. So
That's true.
Them hauntingly being in the balcony, him winking at people in the crowd. Ugh.
Yes. He's such a goober. I love him.
I love him too. And he's definitely winning. Kyle Fletcher is beating Will Ospreay. And he'll be better for it.
I'm into it. You sold me. I'm into it.
On crop top alone.
On crop tops.
No. Yeah. No, Ospreay's losing, and he's going to lose in a very deciding factor, like in the middle of the ring type of shenanigans.
Okay. And then that begs the question, what happens to Mark Davis? Does he just stay in the Don Callis family and be like scary?
Do you think he's a double agent?
That'd be interesting. I hadn't thought about it, but the timing is suspicious. I'm into it.
Right? I like the thought that Mark Davis isn't actually in the Don Callis family.
And the Don Callis family now, like he the Murder Machines, who lost their match to the Outrunners. Don Callis family's on shaky ground. Shaky ground.
Yeah.
And they're also making deals with Chris Jericho. I don't know. Shaky ground. But what I will say is that I do think that it has elevated Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher. And I don't know if that's because of Don Callis, or if that's just because they're so excellent they just needed the time. I personally don't think it's Don Callis, but I don't think so. He doesn't wear the right socks with his shoes, and his jackets are always too short
because he doesn't wear socks.
feels like alien.
I mean, the bald head does it, you know? That's very alien.
That's true. He's very Lord Voldemort.
But he has a nose. I do love that Don Callis clearly is playing up his scar, because his scar keeps getting bigger and smaller and bigger and smaller. Yeah. I love it. That's he's the only thing
goof.
I love.
He's being a goof, which I dig.
He is certified goof.
Certified goof. He's on the goof list. I wonder if we'll see the Young Bucks back at Revolution, because it's in California.
I miss them. I miss them so much.
I miss them too. And they've been off, like, they wrestled in Japan again. They've been, like, doing, you know, stuff, taking their time off, whatever. Mm-hmm. I would love to see them back. I miss them. Oh my god, we didn't even, okay, that made me think of Hangman, which made me think of MJF getting his tattoo removed.
Okay, I need to talk to the hangers. The lustification of him is, I didn't think it could get any heightened. Him taking off his shirt and sitting in the chair, and that camera positioned in the way that it does, there's just something when he pulls back his hair, I just lose it. I lose it.
He's just so good.
So good. Ugh. And all I want to do is root for him. And he's trying to make me feel like he's a bad guy. But then someone else pointed out on Blue Sky that when he went to the back, he went through the good guy's tunnel.
Yes. He's a baby face.
He is baby.
He is baby.
And I'm here baby. For it.
MJF getting his tattoo removed because the fans don't like him is peak MJF.
Okay. When you saw that tattoo, like when he revealed it, it was a shitty tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this man has all the money in the world.
He can't pay a good artist.
And he can't pay. That's like a tattoo apprentice. That's like, yeah. Hey, I'm having a tattoo party. I'm not certified yet, but you should come by.
Yeah, the lines were so blown out.
It was so bad. And on the heel, oh, makes me want to throw up. But guess what? It wasn't real. Wasn't real. But we're not supposed to know that because he allegedly got it removed.
Somehow.
Like, somehow.
Those thick black lines somehow removed with no residue. Somehow. I love this MJF Hangman story. But the only thing that's keeping me from like fully investing into it is just, it's just MJF rerunning his greatest hits. Like the you people stuff and then like the, oh, you don't actually care about people stuff. But it's like, I think the story's there for Hangman more than it is for MJF. And if the Young Bucks come back at Revolution, it's going to be interesting to see if we see babyface Young Bucks, you know, old school Young Bucks, or if it were still an EVP era when they're, you know, playing succession and, you know, doing all that businessman stuff. I don't know. But I'm intrigued by both of those stories. And, you know, MJF story, Hangman story, and I guess also, you know, the Young Bucks story. All three of those stories. I'm just so excited for Revolution. What do you think about Toni Storm and Mariah May?
It should main event. I don't understand why it's not.
I agree. I don't know why either. I'm assuming that they must have something wonky planned for the Death Riders finish. It has to be.
I know that you're right, but it just, one of these storylines has earned the right to be the main event. And it's the performance of a lifetime.
Yeah.
So that's got me heated.
I agree. I think it's like, I think the Death Riders, they've always wanted the men's world title to main event. But I think the Death Rider story and the fact that we don't see the belt should relegate it to semi-main or like middle of the card somewhere, something. You could put it first if you wanted. You could put it first if you wanted. Oh, I don't care.
Blow our load early on.
But I think I would choose the women to main event I would also over them. I would also be fine with Kenny Omega and Takeshita main eventing over them, or MJF Hangman. Like any of these other things that people are like really, really into. The Death Riders is just not one of them. So that tells me, because if, you know, I take that back. I wouldn't be surprised if they end the show with just the Death Rider standing tall.
Yeah.
Like the image of it. I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be disappointed because I feel like that spot should go in that case to Tony and Mariah. But I'm excited because I don't know how this match is going to shape up. And I don't know how it's going to end. Like, I love the suspense of it. And I'm just so ready. I'm just so ready for Revolution, I think. I'm just excited.
I mean, we have 9 matches. 1 pre-show. Or, I mean, 0 hour or whatever the hell. I know that it's not on the thumbnail. What do you think of the Outrunners versus the Hurt Syndicate? The Hurt, yeah, Syndicate, not business.
I think the Hurt Syndicate's going to win. I think the Outrunners are going to have a fun match. My hope is that Hurt Syndicate wins and Private Party comes back. That's my hope. And it's a private party and you were all invited. That's my hope because I want to run that back and I want Private Party to be the ones to beat the Hurt Syndicate. I don't know if that's where they want to go with it because the Young Bucks lurking, they could just put the Young Bucks there. I don't think people would be excited to see the Young Bucks come back as baby faces for no reason and then not interact with Kenny Omega after they wrote him off TV with Matt Jackson punching him in the stomach. So I'm ambivalent. Am I frozen or is Colin frozen? Oh no. We're Cook City. Let me text.
Down! No! Am I back?
Yeah. I was just about to text you and be like, am I frozen or are you frozen?
No, I was frozen because everything stopped over here.
Okay. But I don't know what did I even say? Oh, I said, I don't know if it's going to be Private Party because I can see them bringing the Young Bucks back to, you know, challenge the Hurt Syndicate. But I think fans would be a little about the Young Bucks coming back as baby faces and not doing something with Kenny Omega because it's the Young Bucks that punched Kenny Omega in the stomach and pushed him off the stretcher and like got him written off TV.
Yeah.
And so like if they come back as baby faces and they don't address it because they're wrestling the Hurt Syndicate, it's a little bizarro. So I would do Private Party. Private Party, you know, you could have the Hurt Syndicate beating up the Outrunners, going to end their careers. Bobby Lashley has them like ready to military press him 60 yards. and then Private Party can come back and beat him up with some baseball bats or something. And I'd be into it. That's what I would do.
I mean, more violence is always what I'm in the mood for. Here's my problem. And I don't want this to be indicative of this last episode of Ring of Honor, because this last episode of Ring of Honor was very lucha heavy, right? We had so many different lucha matches. And I think the backbone of Ring of Honor was built on lucha. Okay. This is not a dig. But to my understanding, the Outrunners have been on Ring of Honor television week after week after week after week. The fans are into it. They were starting to build something. And then all of a sudden a shift happened and it's like, oh, now the Outrunners they're too big for Ring of Honor. They can't have your number one merch sellers on Ring of Honor.
Well, and they were going to beat the Young Bucks for the titles, according to the Young Bucks.
Right. But like, why place them on Ring of Honor? Having them win matches week after week after week. Why else would you be having these squasheronis with the premier athletes? Why have them in these 6-man tag matches, them pinning substantial teams if they were just going to go to AEW? Tony Khan, it doesn't make any sense. it doesn't make any sense because you don't think that people watch Ring of Honor, and you're right. A lot of people do not watch Ring of Honor. They put on, Ring of Honor puts on fantastic pay-per-views. Don't get me wrong. But why have a team that has been on your episodic television show week after week after week, mm-hmm. and then go right to number one contenders for your AEW tag champions? What?
The relationship between Ring of Honor and AEW has never made sense to me.
They're two separate brands.
Yeah, but sometimes they're not. And then sometimes they definitely are. I don't know. It's just weird. And then you have Chris Jericho continuing to be the cross we all bear.
He needs to retire. He needs to go to a home that only plays the Fozzy music.
Yeah. Fozzy themed bingo. I just when Renee Paquette said you had a classic match on Collision, she said that with a straight face to Chris Jericho. I wanted to rip my ears.
But here's the thing. I think that his match versus Bandito was very good. And I don't think it's on the part of Chris Jericho.
Yes.
The match was great because of Bandito.
And I don't think it was like a classic Collision match that we'll remember forever. I think that like Chris Jericho just isn't wrestling like where he used to wrestle.
Right.
And really starting to show in really, really bad ways. And I don't know why we're still going with it. The Learning Tree doesn't need to be there anymore. Big Bill is massively over.
Yeah, I agree.
Brian Keith like can get over on his own and be fine. Like they don't need Chris Jericho. So I don't know what the idea is with them still existing.
It's the Jericho Vortex, and it gives me an absolute headache. Chris Jericho does not need to be the Ring of Honor champion. We already did this once. You didn't get the TV title or the TV deal then. You didn't get it now. I'm tired of it, and I'm tired of Ring of Honor not having, this is where it goes from wrestling made me cry because I'm happy to wrestling made me cry because I'm thoroughly pissed off. Because Chris Jericho, as your Ring of Honor champion, does nothing for your brand. Yeah. He doesn't even show up on your brand. What are your singles star wrestlers fighting for in Ring of Honor? Nothing. And you have Shane Taylor making these fire promos week after week after week going, I need that title. Give it to me. Give me that match. And he's just the mouthpiece for Lee Moriarty. He's just the mouthpiece for the infantry right now. You got to be kidding me. We need a refresh here in Ring of Honor. We need Shane Taylor as your Ring of Honor champion. You need the infantry as your tag champions. And we need to continue having Lee Moriarty have these banger pure title matches. I need Shane Taylor Productions to be the main focus of your Ring of Honor television. Honor and respect the people who have been watching your show week after week after week with people who show up week after week after week. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard?
I don't know.
And Mike in the chat said it. Now Bandito and Hobbs are in a tag team? Make it make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And I don't, it's, and this is like when AEW was in like its low point and people were like, all the changes you have to make are so simple.
So, so baby, so small.
And we all see it. So like, why aren't we doing it? It's the same thing with Ring of Honor. Like in the relationship between AEW and Ring of Honor and in Ring of Honor itself, like, I don't know. It's just,
they're not going to do it because no. I don't understand this hard on for Chris Jericho. Does he sell merch? Does he make people excited to watch a product? Have you been seeing a spike in your Ring of Honor viewership? No, because he's not even won it.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Oh, you brought in Matt Cardona for Final Battle? Oh, cool. What about all the people who've been fighting week after week, doing promo after promo for a nothing belt? A belt that doesn't even show up. Let's be real.
Yeah, it kind of sucks that AEW is now in a really, really good spot and Ring of Honor isn't.
Because they're so interchangeable right now.
Yeah.
And the women are doing all the things right now in Ring of Honor, and you only have the TV title and the main women's title. And they show up week after week, have amazing matches, whatever. The other title that's been showing up is the Ring of Honor Television Championship with Commander. And that is a great television champion because he shows up week after week after week. Him and Alex Abrahantes just making good television, giving me banger matches. We all knew that Commander could give banger matches, showing up in really cool ways on the show. If you completely removed the Ring of Honor Heavyweight Championship, build your whole show around Commander.
Yeah. Listen, it's not a bad idea. It's not. Yeah. The booking philosophy is a mystery to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Because, like, if Ring of Honor is going to be its own thing, treat it like its own thing. If it's going to be the NXT feeder program for AEW, treat it like the NXT feeder program to AEW.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, in this weird zone where it's neither of them. I don't get it. It's a mystery.
A mystery that I feel like the Scooby-Doo and crew could remove the mask. And it's not a ghost. It's Tony Khan. It's Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho. And like the thing that really gets me about Chris Jericho is now he wants to do horror movies. So I can't even escape him there.
Okay, but it's funny when he dies.
Yeah, when he died in Terrifier and he was screaming, I was like, you cannot be doing that. I was like, this is the worst acting I've ever seen Chris Jericho do, and that's saying something.
It's his best acting, though.
It was... He was just like, like, put your chest into it. You're being murdered by a demon. And he goes, like a goat. You sound like a goat, and not the goat, a goat. I have such beef with him. I should stop ranting before we keep talking about how much I dislike Chris Jericho. Because, I have reasons. I don't know what got us on that train, why we went down that train of thought.
It's because we started talking about the Outrunners, and I go, what pisses me off? What pisses me off? So, leave that as you may. The only Ring of Honor post show, by the way, is over at our local establishment now because everyone else has abandoned ship for the meantime, I guess. So, if you want to watch our show instead of watching Ring of Honor, you can do that.
Give yourself a little coin.
Yeah.
Watch the Ring of Honor post show and keep up. What a travesty. And I was talking about the other day with people about that when TNA rebranded back into TNA and like all the goodwill and they've completely squandered it all. Mm-hmm. I was like, Ring of Honor did the same thing. Tony Khan buys Ring of Honor. We're like, oh, we're going back to like 2017 glory days. And now here we are.
Here we are.
We did get a glimpse of Athena on AEW TV, though. There was a glimpse. I saw it.
I do want to say something, by the way. Billy having that picture with Mercedes when she was younger. I love it that these youngins, right? That 10 years ago, they were children seeing our idols and stuff just now facing them. So like Roxanne Perez and Bailey, and now we have Billy and Mercedes. I'm into it.
I'm into it too. Period. Exclamation point.
But I just think that we need more women's feuds.
I do too. Just like in general, and you know, in North American wrestling, I think we need a little more pizzazz.
Jazz hands. And then,
we need just, I don't know, AEW's women's division's in the best spot it's been in a long time. Mm-hmm. But I still think that we could go further. I think we'll get there. I have optimism, and maybe the optimism is misplaced or misguided, but this version of
listen, AEW, welcome to the stage, misguided.
But I'm excited. I am really enjoying being optimistic mm-hmm. about wrestling. And then I say that, and then my heart gets squashed, but it's okay.
Well, no squashes here. It's not summertime. I don't know. I was trying to do a joke, and it left my brain. So no squashes here, because you're number one.
I'm going to tell Jeremy to clip that and make it a short. Your squash is here because you're number one.
Y'all, I have to tell you, I went to the symphony last night. I told you before we went live, but I went to the symphony last night because it was a One Piece symphony. And we didn't get back until like after my bedtime, so like midnight. So I didn't get to bed till like 1 a.m. And my dogs, they usually wake up at 5. They let me sleep until 6. So casual, like, you know, 4.5-5 hour sleep last night. And I get up to my dog going, hur, hur, like trying to do like resuscitation on me. I'm like, I get it, guys. I'm awake.
Wake up. Hello.
And it's because it's getting brighter now. It is light, bright, bushy-tailed at 6 a.m. The full sun is up and ready to start the day. The birds be chirping. They do their little chirpy chirp song right out my window. And guess what? I'm here for it. However, my dogs, you know, not in real life.
Not in real life.
Just
don't
play.
Call PETA.
No, we're just playing.
Yeah.
But they play with my emotions.
But they're so cute that you have to forgive them.
I know. They really are.
Every time you send me a picture or video of them, I just want to pick them up and squeeze them.
They're very squeezable. They are squeeze size, both being, one is 14-ish pounds. Perfect. And one being 20 pounds. So
perfect size for squeezing.
Yeah. That's why I'm picking up when when Tucker was playing with the dogs. I'm like, I didn't realize that Tucker was so big.
He's fluffy. He's just a fluffy boy.
Yeah, 30, what did the vet say? 32 pounds? Yeah.
He's just storing it for the winter.
Oh, that little boy. But he's fitting in with his, I don't know, litter mate? Sister?
Yeah, what? Sibling?
Yeah, I guess that is a sibling if it's the same mother, just different litters, right?
Yeah, siblings.
Yeah.
Because it's like if you had twins and then you had another baby, then it's a sibling.
this is why you're going to be the doctor.
Yeah, I'm like, well, if you think about it, scientifically, it's scientifically proven.
Oh, I'm college educated. I have two bachelor's degrees, and I said, that's fine.
I
don't know how I got them.
Sometimes I forget that I am highly educated. I don't know if you feel this way too.
Yeah.
I forget that I'm highly educated. And then sometimes it'll just hit me like, you're doing this with 3 degrees.
I mean, every time I pay my student loans right now, it's like, I asked for this.
They should forgive your student loans just because you're the only Ring of Honor podcast left. That's public service. Goodbye, student loans. I would if I was president. If I was president, you know how like the Super Bowl champs go to the White House?
Yeah.
Every like June, I would invite the AW champions to the White House.
Yeah.
And we would watch Omega versus Okada, the series. And eat good food. I don't care about the Super Bowl or like the World Series champions. No. I should be able to invite who I want to invite to the White House. You know what I mean?
I would do a lot of things different if I was the president. And this is not a political route, but just so you know.
I want to live in the White House simply so that I can do all the crazy, quirky things I want to do, and people can't really judge me.
I would feel the weight of, if you fuck this up, that's what you're going to be remembered as.
That's true. But then I feel like both of us, either of us, would be good presidents. I feel like we're like so likable, and we're also very smart that we'd be fine. But the only thing is that we would do weird things, like invite the AW champions to the White House.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people would be like, what are you doing? And you know,
they would ask me, how would you like to style your bedroom, Madam President? And I'd say, in Titanic theme.
World War I. I was up until 1 a.m. playing that video game. I could not put it down. I like ADHD locked in and then looked at my phone and it was 1 a.m. and I had to shower and get ready for bed. Like I hadn't even done that yet.
Wow.
I ate dinner playing the game.
I have to tell you, late night gaming, it's a trap.
It is.
Because I am already bad at time management. Like time, space, continuum, it doesn't make sense to me. But if I go 15 more minutes, 15 minutes in nighttime gaming is an hour and a half.
Yeah. Because it's dark. You don't see the light change.
Yeah.
So it gives the illusion that no time is passing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My dogs are already sleeping. And I'm over here going, because the only game I play is The Sims.
Yeah.
So this last, what was it? Thursday after doing Ring of Honor, I was like, I can't go to bed. I'm going to shower and do all the things. And I'll play The Sims for an hour. I played The Sims for 2.5 hours. What did I do? I built a one bedroom, one bath, little cute home. But I made it like fairy looking, like that like cottage core kind of like thing. So I'm doing like little individual like branches and things. And then I look, I'm like, oh my God. I have to be up in 5 hours.
Do you put your builds on the gallery?
No.
You should.
I don't want to be judged.
That's fair, actually. I've seen some crazy things being said in the gallery comments.
Okay, so if you are on The Sims, I'm Collzorgs, Collzorgs. I built the Jersey Shore house. Like, 5-6 years ago. It is my number one downloaded thing.
I want the Jersey Shore house. So the last time I played The Sims intently, I was doing the 100 baby challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you don't know, is where you have to have 100 babies with 100 different dads.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's milestones they have to reach and, you know, whatever. And I was just downloading random men off the gallery so that I could populate my town with men, as you should. And I was like, I wonder if people have made wrestlers. Don't look to see that people have made wrestlers. Because they've made wrestlers in for the same purpose that I needed the wrestlers for, I think. And so there's a lot of very bizarre things happening on the wrestling space on Sims 4 Gallery. I downloaded a pack of, it was Sheamus, Kenny Omega, I think Bobby Lashley, and then two other wrestlers. I don't remember which ones. And they were all in Speedos. All their outfits. Every day, formal, swim, Speedos.
I mean, fair.
Yeah, so it's an expression of fandom. And I'm here for it. It was just a jump scare.
I don't.
That's all.
Yeah, you go to a wedding and they're just
in Speedos. No, the worst is on The Sims when your Sim is outside and they're freezing to death and they don't have the wherewithal to put on their cold weather clothes.
Yeah.
All you have to do is jump in a circle and your clothes are on.
I have to delete a pool. Like, if I have a pool, I have to delete it during the winter time. I wish that you could just right click and be like, pool closed for the winter.
Yeah.
Because they will jump in the pool.
Yes.
And then it's like, you know, Chelsea is
freezing to death.
Is freezing to death. It's like, what?
Or they'll go outside to like stargaze and just lay there until they die.
Yeah. What?
It's so stupid. I hate it. I hate it so much.
Well, all right. Well, I feel like we need to play The Sims on stream or something.
We should. I don't know. Maybe we should do some kind of Sims challenge together.
I like it. Let's do it.
I don't know what it would be, but we'll do it.
We'll do it. It'll be cute.
It'll be cute. Everything with us is cute.
Oh, well, I'm excited for wrestling. I'm excited for Revolution. Next Sunday, we'll have a show before the show. I'm stoked. I'm ready for it.
To the pre-show.
Yeah. Are you going to be there? You going to be there? Let us know in the comments. Hang out with us. We can give you our predictions, make some wagers, you know?
Yeah. Well, it'd be a good time.
Yeah. I'll have my predictions sheet up and ready for y'all. It'll be fun.
It will be fun. Period. Do you want to do your plugs?
Well, you can find me anywhere. There's a social media website, _queerauntie. If they don't allow underscores, no problem. It's just queerauntie. Makes it easy for you. I live stream Thursdays through Monday. So Thursdays, we're doing Ring of Honor. Friday, I'm on my own show called Collins on the Rocks. Saturday, I'm on the Mother Talking Po show talking RuPaul's Drag Race. So if you also like wrestling, I think that you would like Drag Race because they're very similar.
Agreed.
Sundays I'm here, and Mondays we are talking about Women's Classic Wrestling. We are jumping right into season 2 of the Mae Young Classic, so you won't want to miss it. It is still available on the Peacock, so if you have the Peacock, you can go and watch season 2, episode 1. We are to jump into these matches because it's the season is a lot bigger than season 1, and the production value is a little bit higher, so, and the commentary isn't going to suck, so I'm excited to join the fun. Join me there. Like, share, subscribe. Like all the places. And send us, I don't know, if you want to send us a cute little super chat on your way out. We would definitely appreciate it because we love your face. And we bring you stunning, cryable content every single week for your viewing pleasure.
Period. You can follow me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Kylie Wrestling. I'm more active on Blue Sky these days, but I'm still on Twitter. Still on the Twitter account, just more on Blue Sky. This is Wrestling Made Me Cry. It's a show that's live every Sunday at noon Eastern on Fightful Overbooked, where me and Collins come and we talk about the things that we liked in wrestling. And that's pretty much it. It's just happy, fun times. And sometimes we talk about the Titanic or The Sims 4. And we just have a blast. And that's what we do. And this is Fightful Overbooked. It's a channel that has like a million bajillion different shows, wrestling and some not wrestling. So like, go check out all those things. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to Fightful Overbooked. You know, like and comment. Do you all know the Twitter, you know, the YouTube housekeeping? You don't need me to run down the list for you. But all that being said, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you next week for our pre-show to the pre-show of AEW Revolution. Bye.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Procrastination. Putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.